One of the most entertaining people that we know, and one of the most fun people, and one of the nicest people we know, is Blues analyst Joey Vitale, who joins us now, as he does every Tuesday in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. And because it's Tuesday, it's Teach Us Tuesday. And Joey, we always like talking to you. First, we want to know, we want you to teach us how you're doing.
Well, Randy, now I'm doing great. I tell you what, I'm strutting like a turkey tom in heat right now after that compliment and that introduction you just gave me.
Well, it's great to have you with us. We want to start with the fact that at the top of this hour, we had a story about Bundesliga soccer, and one of the things that they're recommending to their players is to not share a toothbrush. And we've heard that you have a story about this.
You know what? This was a funny one. I think it was one of the games last year. We got on the topic about toothbrushes, and I told Chris Kerber, well, you know, that's not a big deal. Like, me and my wife, we share a toothbrush. And he kind of paused, and he was really taken back by it. And I was taken back that he was taken back. And this is something that I've done with my wife, with my girlfriend. She was my girlfriend back in college. I guess this is 15, 16 years ago. We were both freshmen. And, you know, freshman college dorms, you don't have everything you need. The bathrooms are super tiny. Every now and then she'd stay past 10 o'clock and, you know, fall asleep during a movie. You know how that thing goes, guys, in college. And then she'd have to use my toothbrush. And then vice versa, I go to her place, I have to use her toothbrush. And at first I was like, that's a little weird. But then I was like, you know, I love this woman. And I'm also making out with her and kissing her all the time. And what's really the difference when you think about it? So, yeah, my wife and I, we share a toothbrush. And I guess we exchange stuff in the mouth, which is what kissing is after all. I try to explain this to Kerber. You know, kissing, I think, evolved because as humans evolved, you look at a bird. A mama bird goes out of the nest. It gets some food, it comes back to the nest, and it regurgitates its food mouth to mouth to its young. I mean, a lot of nests out there right now, people can appreciate this. Well, that's how humans, they believe, evolved as well. Moms actually had to regurgitate food into their babies' mouths. And so we look at that mouth to mouth thing as affection, as nurturing, and we still have it in our DNA that another sign of affection or nurturing is kissing someone on the lips, mouth to mouth. So what's the difference with the toothbrush?
She's not your mom. Get your own toothbrush, Joey.
Exactly. Yep.
Well, I'm sorry, guys. If you guys are insecure and you're worried about your wife's mouths and stuff, and that's your own issue, I don't have a problem with it.
All right. I see how you spun this, and I don't like it.
I'm worried about everybody's mouth.
I don't know. I'm just so thrown off my game right now. I thought this was going to be like a one-time thing. It's like, oh, crazy story. I shared this. Hey, here's a random question, Joey. Not that this has ever happened to you or happened to your wife, but maybe got sick or maybe you drank too much, and then it was you're calling up dinosaurs. You're Ralphing all over the place, and then first stop, man, it's toothbrush time. You just put that back in there for your spouse? Just, I mean, you know, mouth to mouth, you know?
Get in there, man. Absolutely. Guys. Listen. Germs aren't that bad. We got to get used to these germs. We got to get used to bacteria. My nanu, he grew up in a little town called Chinese, Sicily, and he had a sewer river in his backyard. He was one of like seven kids. He was home all day. They had nothing to do. He was poor as heck, and he swam in this sewer river. That man died when he was like 93 years old. He wasn't sick a day in his life. Guys, I lean on those kind of stories. There's some good knowledge in history, and to me, I lean on that stuff. Germs, you know, I don't really disinfect all that much. I don't wash my hands all that often, and knock on wood, I've been pretty good ever since. And, you know, germs, get after it. It's all right.
Yeah, I think there are certain germs probably, but, I mean, if you really trust it, why don't you go swimming in sewers?
Well, that's a good point. You know, I didn't really think about that, but I wouldn't really – probably go quite that far. See, now you got me all tongue-tied. This is a tongue-tied Tuesday, boys.
Joey Vitale is with us on 101 ESPN. We talked to Doug Armstrong earlier, and he seems cautiously optimistic about playing again. And I heard you last week with Bernie, Joey, talking about how you feel better now than you have in a long time about hockey coming back. As we sit here now at 5:36 on April 28th, what are your feelings about hockey coming back to wrap up this season?
I feel good, guys. I do. Last week I felt good. This week I even feel a little bit better. I think it's just because, you know, we're looking from a world standpoint, definitely a country standpoint, that this thing appears to be flattening or on a curve or on the bend or at least plateauing or even starting to descend in some areas. to me, that's really just the encouraging sign that leads me to think that this is going to continue to progress. People are going to be responsible. Everyone's going to do their due diligence as far as social distancing, and everything is going to hopefully kind of keep with the up and up. So I am still very optimistic about seeing some hockey remainder of this season. You know, do we get to 82 games to finish the season? I don't think so. Is it more like 76, 78? That's possible. I know Gary Bettman, you know, over the last week has been very adamant about finishing the regular season, which to me 2-3 weeks ago, I didn't think that was really a possibility or even important, but he has said how important that is to finish off at least 8, 9, 10 regular season games to get to that point. A lot of neutral site stuff, as you guys know, is starting to get thrown around. The mix, St. Louis is kind of one of those second tier cities they're kind of considering. You look at the new facility out in Chesterfield. You look at the new facility across the river over there, what they've done to the Enterprise Center. They can handle big events. They've proven that with the All-Star game. They got plenty of hotels, 4-star, 5-star hotels that the players are staying. So to me, St. Louis could be one of those choices. You go to Columbus, you go to Edmonton, Toronto's another one as well. I think that they are putting the pieces together to make it work. And a lot of these cities, they have multiple practice rinks. They have plenty of hotels. They have the ice sheets. I mean, sometimes these are going to be 3 games in the same day on these NHL sheets. And that's a very possible thing to do when you have 4, 5, 6 locker rooms to have all these teams in. So I do. I believe it's going to be, you know, I kind of said it the other day. I figured I was talking to you boys, but it's like, you ever go gold digging when you were a kid, like, you know, Boy Scouts or and you go to a river and you got that mesh pan and you kind of scoop up a big old pile of rocks and you start adding some water and siphon, adding some water and cinnamon, or however they say that is.
Absolutely. You know, sifting through it.
Mm-hmm. Sifting, exactly. It's like you lose some bigger ones and you take a little bit more water. And then you sift in a different little screen, little numbered screen, and you take a little bit more. It's like we're just slowly sifting down little by little, week by week, and I feel like we're making good progress. And, boys, I think we're going to find some gold here pretty soon. I do.
I like that. Hey, Joey, and this doesn't have to be sheer facilities, because you laid out a really great point talking about St. Louis, and there's great facilities. But I'm just talking about cities in general, man. You've played all over this league. You've been to all these different cities. You've seen their facilities. If you could pick one place for a hub, and I'm not going to let you pick St. Louis because that's too easy of a choice. It's got to be somewhere outside of St. Louis. If you could pick one hub to play the rest of the season for you, where would you pick?
Well, right now, I would say Las Vegas, simply because, you know, there's not a lot of NBA interference right now. That's one of the big things they're looking at. And I know Toronto, I already mentioned Toronto as being one of the top teams, and they do have an NBA kind of crossover, which could be an issue. But teams like Columbus, or cities like Columbus, rather, no NBA interference. Edmonton, no NBA interference. Minneapolis, that's another one that they're really considering. None of these cities have NBA interferences. So that's, to me, I would look at first a city like that. Las Vegas comes to mind. Minneapolis, again, it's a great city. Minnesota really hasn't been hitting all that hard by this. And you look at the Herb Brooks Institute up there, what they have, the facilities, the locker rooms. I mean, there's ice rinks literally everywhere scattered across Minnesota. They have a great downtown, plenty of hotels. It's centrally located, which I really like. You know, one of the areas I don't like about Edmonton is teams are going to have to travel pretty far. So I like at least some cities in the central area. So to me, Las Vegas or Nashville, if the Blues had to pick one of those two, I think those would just be dynamite.
When you've had a layoff of about a month and a half now, how much time does a hockey player need to get ready again?
That's a really good question. And I think every player is going to be different. I think it's going to obviously be more than what it takes when you're coming back from the summer. And that's the only reason, because you're skating in the summer. You're with your guys from back home. So I think if players typically need, let's look at training camp, you know, 3-ish weeks, 3.5 weeks, you know, I think you almost need a times and a half that. So to me, I think personally 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks. I know that's a long time, but to answer your question, to be fully ready, I think 3 to 4 weeks. Will they allow that? I don't think so. And do I think it's necessary? Absolutely not. I think players can get away with doing a 2, 2.5, 3 week little training session where the biggest, most important thing is that they will stay injury free. They may not be at the very top of their game, but I think they're going to be in shape enough to be injury free. So when they do come back, if they do come back, I do still see kind of that 2.5 week window. I don't think it really will go past 2.5 weeks because they just have so many games to get to fit in here this summer. That's the problem.
Joey V, you're the best. Thanks for taking some time with us. We always appreciate it.
Thanks, fellas. Have a great day.
You too. See you soon. That's Joe Vitale with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. We're headed down the stretch with a game of Would You Rather. Get your text in to the Air Comfort Service text line 65780. Would You Rather next on 101 ESPN.